Kevin, good morning.
Good day, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. Firstly, the women have faced their third court appearance, I believe, this week, and I've been told their trials will be going on for at least the next couple of weeks. Firstly, why are these women in prison to begin with?
Well, they've been charged with a number of offences under Saudi law, including an extremely broad offence, which is producing something that harms public order, religious values, public morals, the sanctity of private life, or authoring, sending, or storing it via an information network. But they've also been charged with various offences relating to contact with foreigners, including diplomats and journalists. So they've been charged with a number of offences, but their offence really is to be women's rights activists, whom the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, wants to see behind bars.
And these allegations of abuse taking place behind bars, I mean, to us here in Australia, they're obviously pretty shocking, and they're pretty shocking in a lot of places around the world, but are they particularly unusual for prisoners in Saudi Arabia?
In the sense that this sort of thing obviously happens and it's a very brutal system, no, they're not unusual. But it does appear that these women have been subject to particularly degrading torture, including sexual harassment and sexual assault. There have been a number of claims along these lines. They're supported by the prisoners' families, and in the context of the Saudi regime, they've got nothing to gain by raising these issues because there's very little possibility of getting redress in the Saudi system. They just want it to be known that they've suffered these violations of their human rights while they were detained.
Speaking of course, the prisoners' families, how do we see some of them coming out and saying they've been told to keep quiet?
That's certainly quite likely. Part of the object of charging these women is to discourage other people from this sort of activity. Given the Saudi system, pressure on the families is a fairly serious matter. Because they themselves could be subject to charges. So this is the way the Saudi system works. It is very repressive, and getting out of line has serious consequences.
You'd have to say with Saudi Arabia itself as a country, it is a particularly unusual example because it does, as a country, follow a very restrictive, very, very old form of Islam, while at the same time, it's modernising to an extraordinary degree because of the money that pours in to the country from the oil reserves and the like. These two worlds, the sort of new meets old, don't particularly seem to mix very well. So looking at the women activists, the activism we see in Saudi Arabia right now, is it still on the growth, and this is a reaction to that?
Certainly, civil society is growing, but very slowly because it's a very repressive system with very few outlets for expressing a contrary opinion. The fact of these charges is intended partly to prevent the women's rights activists growing in stature and effectiveness. And it was, of course, related to the Crown Prince's decision that women could drive, which was implemented in June last year. But these women were arrested in May, and the general view is that this was intended to prevent them claiming credit for the decision on driving and thereby increasing their visibility and effectiveness in the Saudi system.
Do we see any pressure being exerted from other countries that would be dealing with Saudi Arabia?
Yes. One important move was made at the session of the UN Human Rights Council in March, when 38 countries issued a statement expressing significant concern about exactly the issue we're talking about, the imprisonment of the women activists, and also drawing attention to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi in Istanbul last year. Australia subscribed to this statement, which was very good, but the United States didn't. And the United States, of course, is the key, since the Trump administration has a deliberate policy of turning a blind eye to human rights violations, and in particular supporting Saudi Arabia. The Saudis will feel quite confident in carrying on these repressive activities because it's only the US that has the capacity to exercise effective influence over them.
And just looking at the future for these women, they've seen their third court appearance, or some of them have seen their third court appearance ending with no verdicts and no release, no temporary release for any of them. Their next court date, I believe, will be taking place after Ramadan. What does the road ahead look like for this? I mean, are we likely to see a resolution one way or another anytime soon?
These were in the hands of the Saudi system, which is unpredictable. Trials don't proceed in the orderly fashion you'd expect in our system. So it could be quite some time. It appears that the three women who've been temporarily released are the only ones who will be subject to temporary release. The others will remain in detention. And you're correct in saying that their trials will resume sometime in June after the end of Ramadan.
Mm. Well, Kevin, I do appreciate you joining us this morning, having a chat with us about this one.
That's fine. Cheers.